The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Century 21.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010. Fantasy Focus.
Fantasy. Friday, Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. The whole crew here with you, Field Matthew and Star Fania. Week 3 preview show. Let's go. I'm feeling inspired. We saw perhaps the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL take on the national stage last night. Has Minshew Mania taken over and made you feel as ready to dominate a show today as I feel right now, Matthew?
Obviously. Come on, baby. I'm growing a mustache as we speak.
Really?
Sure.
It's not working out for you so far.
By the way, pre-show meeting, I was only in a jockstrap.
That's too much information.
You were here for it.
I know. And I was wearing sunglasses. So I didn't get to see you quite so distinctly.
Enough. Minshew Mania is here. It's a fun story, you know what? And thank God, because without Gardner Minshew, that game last night was brutal.
It was absolutely brutal. It feels like, this was a joke that was made 100 times last night on Twitter. It feels like the Titans and the Jaguars play every Thursday night game.
Every Thursday.
It also feels like when they do play, there's either a massive weather issue, a lack of offense, or both.
Brutal.
Last night, we got both, but the good news for the Jaguars, they get a major win. Gardner Minshew remains the talk of the town. We got a lot to get to, though.
Honestly, if you just sort of had the game on in the background and you weren't paying attention, and I said to you, hey, did Blake Bortles play in that game last night? You'd say yes,
yeah,
right?
Well, the odds were,
it just felt like a very Bortles-esque game, despite the fact he is now backing up Jared Goff in Los Angeles.
Gardner Minshew has taken over in Jacksonville, but we've got plenty to get to today. So, Jackson, let's hit it.
Game preview.
We begin with the Lions going to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. And the starters, you guys know the names, right? Carson Wentz, we feel good about. Zach Ertz and Kenny Golladay. But the question marks begin with Kerryon Johnson, who last week had an awesome touchdown catch, Matthew, but
I'm having issues with my microphone.
Yeah, you are. It's okay. It's fixed now.
It's sort of. It doesn't look great.
Okay.
I just want, for people that are watching us live on YouTube or the ESPN app or Twitter or the Facebook page or like Unicorn Katie from the Women's League from a few years ago who's
back
there.
Welcome.
Behind the glass there as a guest for us. Yeah, so any of that's watching, it's very awkward and I don't know what to do with it, Stefania.
I think you're good just how you have it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because it feels, I don't know. There's something weird about it. But all right, that's fine.
So, Kerryon Johnson faces the Philadelphia Eagles, who have a ferocious run defense, who's allowed a total of 40 rushing yards to both Devontae Freeman, Darius Geis this season. Now, Fletcher Cox is healthy. Besides that, basically no other defensive tackle is healthy for the Eagles, including Malik Jackson on IR and also Timmy Jernigan out for this game. Along those lines, Matthew, because of the matchup, has Kerryon Johnson fallen out of running back 2 territory this weekend?
Yes, for me. I have him just outside my top 20. He made the hate list. His projection was 13.2, so I'm taking the under there. Look, the Eagles have been very good against the run, and yes, no question, that is the line a little bit banged up there? Certainly it is, but my concerns are, first off, bad matchup here. And also, when you think about how you beat the Philadelphia Eagles, it's through the air, right? That secondary has been nothing short of brutal so far this season. They're allowing just 2.83 yards per carry this season. That's fifth best in the NFL. They haven't allowed a rushing touchdown. And I think more importantly, by the way, Kerryon Johnson has just 46% of the Lions' rushing attempts this year. Like, it's been a committee, and the release of C.J. Anderson isn't about we want to give more work to Kerryon Johnson. It's about we believe in Ty Johnson.
Interesting. We'll see. Yeah, I'm curious. I think Ty Johnson's one of those players that could eventually bubble up on a waiver wire conversation in future weeks. They did also claim Paul Perkins from the Giants. So, interesting. I believe Anderson got the final 4 carries of last week. But I'm with you on the Kerryon Johnson part. Lowering expectations. You just hope he gets involved in the passing game a bunch this weekend.
And he certainly could, by the way. I mean, that's what will happen here, right? So far this year, the Eagles are allowing 7.5 running back receptions per game. So it's a lot. And so that's what you're hoping for here. But if they get in close, are they giving it to Kerryon Johnson? I don't know. Again, that secondary is really, really tough, field. They are actually 31st against the pass so far this year. Remember, both Matt Ryan and Case Keenum threw for over 300 yards against this Eagles secondary. I think Matthew Stafford has a nice game here. I think he's an interesting streamer this week. And that's why Kenny Golladay made my love list. I think Detroit takes it to Philadelphia through the air. So I've lowered expectations on Kerryon Johnson. You're still probably starting him, but again, slightly outside my top 20.
We'll see if Philadelphia can take it to the Lions through the air. If they do so, Stefania, it seems likely it won't be with either DeSean Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey.
Or Dallas Goedert. I mean, they're going to be down three guys this week because of injury. DeSean Jackson has an abdominal injury that, you know, we heard groin originally, but it sounds like it's a fairly significant abdominal injury. And there was some discussion about how they wanted to manage it. He's going to try and play through it, but it's not just this week. It's the fact that the Eagles play on Thursday next week.
Sorry, would the chair recognize the senator from
the peanut
from Massachusetts?
Gallery is a
question. It does look like
how do you think you have a groin injury, but it's actually your abs? I'm not a doctor, but I feel like if it was my groin, I would know it was my groin and not be my abs, which are in pretty dissimilar parts.
No, actually, they're very, very close to each other.
Daniel's not here today, because normally what happens, Daniel's not here today, and what would happen is in my ear, Daniel brings my headphones.
Kind of smart remark.
Yes, exactly. And so Daniel would be like, don't. Matthew, he'd get in my ear and just be like, don't. And he's not here.
Right.
He's
not here. There's no one to tell
you. There's no one to tell me not to do it. When you just sit there and like, you make groin jokes and like, and not knowing where your groin is and Fields talking about recognizing his groin, and I just, come on!
Don't, Matthew. Don't.
Be careful. By the way, I am your ear today because you don't have an earpiece in. They say don't, Matthew, don't.
Let me explain something to you. Okay. We hear about these core muscle injuries because that's what they're called now. But a core muscle, these are all the muscles at the center, the core. They give you your power. Your groin muscles, which are your adductors, and your abdominals, they all attach right in the center. So they're right adjacent to each other. So yes, it is not uncommon to think abdomen/groin. Right.
Okay.
Bottom line, adjacent groin muscles field. That's where we're at.
Let me finish my
thought. Yes, ma'am.
DeSean Jackson, I was just saying the Eagles, not only this week, but they play on a Thursday night game next week. So you're likely without DeSean Jackson for both those games. Alshon Jeffrey, calf injury, we don't know. And Dallas Goedert aggravated a calf injury from before. I think that does impact their offense because it's going to eliminate a lot of two tight end sets.
Next man up, Matthew. Let's get to the names of note. Nelson Agholor, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, perhaps Mac Hollins. What's your confidence level in any or all of these three?
So as a whole, I'm actually reasonably confident. As in, like, do I think that Carson Wentz will be okay here and be a viable fantasy starter? I do. I rank them Agholor, Arcega-Whiteside, and then Mac Hollins. Worth noting, so Agholor last week, 8 for 107 and a touchdown, and then dropped that ball down the sideline, which would have been a touchdown. You know, tough drop there, but generally speaking, Agholor, who struggled with drops early in his career, seems to have corrected that more recently, right? So ultimately, I think he actually has a nice game. I have him at 35 here. Remember, between him and DeSean Jackson, they've combined for over 82% of the slot receiving yards for the Eagles. Obviously, no D-Jacks in this game, so it should be all Agholor there. Mac Hollins is going to play the DeSean Jackson role. He's a speedster. He's a guy that I've always sort of liked, and he's just kind of been buried in the depth chart here. 5 for 50 last week. It's kind of interesting here. And Arcega-Whiteside is somebody that hasn't done a lot so far in his professional career, but highly thought of coming out of college. And listen, very small sample, but on the four targets that he has so far this year, he's averaging 16.3 air yards per target. So they're not afraid to throw deep to him. I think he's an interesting name as well for like deeper leagues. Right. And I love him in Dynasty.
All these names are guys that we'll probably talk about more on Monday or Tuesday, depending on how things shake out there.
Arcega-Whiteside and Hollins are more DFS tournament plays or super deep desperate, but I think you're absolutely starting Agholor. And I do think again in deeper leagues, Dynasty leagues, keeper leagues, Arcega-Whiteside is pretty interesting.
All right, Panthers go to Arizona to play the Cardinals, obviously starting Christian McCaffrey and David Johnson, but no Cam Newton this weekend, barring a miracle at this point.
Right, Stefania, we don't expect Cam
to play. We don't expect Cam Newton to play. David Johnson, by the way, you saw him leave last week's game with a wrist injury, but full practice, he's fine.
He's fine there. So, Matthew, along those lines, Kyle Allen, former Texas A&M Aggie, enters the lineup. Are you playing Curtis Samuel or DJ Moore confidently this weekend with Kyle Allen under center?
I am.
Me too, man. I'm convinced this kid's going to sling it.
I really do. Look, I think, I grew up in Texas. My dad still is a professor at Texas A&M University, so I follow that team closely. So Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen, both former Texas A&M quarterbacks in this game. And of course they both left because I don't know what was going on there with Kevin Sumlin. But okay, whatever. I digress. The fact is that Kyle Allen is a talented player. Like, and the Panthers used a third round pick on Will Greer Field, and Kyle Allen
beat him out
in camp, the undrafted free agent Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen can play. You think about week 17 last year against kind of a depleted Saints team, but put up like 25 fantasy points, had two touchdown passes, ran for a third, over 225 passing yards here. And look, it's a depleted Cardinals defense here. So I don't think going from pocket Cam to Kyle Allen is a downgrade. I think it actually might be an upgrade for these pass catchers. DJ Moore has 24 targets through 2 weeks. Curtis Samuel leads the Panthers in air yards per target. Cardinals have allowed the fourth most deep completion, second most deep touchdown passes. I like both guys this week. I have DJ Moore at 23, Curtis Samuel at 36. I think both guys are interesting. And if you would normally start them, absolutely starting them. With Kyle Allen under center.
We do this gimmick or segments in a variety of places on ESPN. Basically, like tomorrow's headline today, Monday's headline on Friday is that Kyle Allen shines in replacement of Cam Newton. Kyle Murray, by the way, makes the love list for you, Matthew. Just 17 rushing yards right now. Is that going to change on Sunday, or is it because, hey, this Carolina defense can be had?
I think it's a little bit of both. By the way, Kyler Murray, despite playing, you know, a decent Detroit defense and then having to go on the road to Baltimore, is the 12th best quarterback in fantasy with no rushing yards. And we expect that to come at some point this season, right? It's just, he's too talented, you know, and he's had so much success running the ball in college that at some point that has to kick in, right? You have to believe that's coming. And still, you think about this Carolina Panthers that allowing 9 air yards per pass attempt this season, that's 8th most in the NFL. And get this about Kyler Murray. He has thrown 22 deep passes so far this year. Only Patrick Mahomes has more field. I mean, they're throwing it deep. And so Fitzgerald looks great. Christian Kirk looks great. Damien Bird, you know, looks, I mean, like. Damien Bird looks really good. Like, so yeah, give me Kyler Murray this week. I think he does better than his projection of 16.7 points. I'm on the love list. He is my 12th ranked quarterback. This week, give me some Kyler Murray in what should be an entertaining shootout in the desert. The over-under is 44.5. I would take the over in this one.
Same. And by the way, you also have Christian Kirk, who you just mentioned ago on the love list this week. He's a top 30 play for all of us. 19 targets so far this season for Christian Kirk. He has looked the part, and, you know, we talked about this going into the season. He had a little bit of built-in rapport with Kyler Murray, having been teammates for a brief minute at Texas A&M.
Correct.
It seems to be paying off so far for Christian
Kirk. It certainly does. Wide receiver 31 through so far this season. 6 for 114 last week at Baltimore. Look, he's caught 6 of 7 targets in week 2. You know what I mean? Like, in a tough matchup at Baltimore. I mean, they're banged up on the secondary, but still, Christian Kirk looks the part. I like Christian Kirk this week. I am at wide receiver 32.
The Broncos go to Green Bay to play the Packers. Packers are big favorites in this one. And you're starting Aaron Rodgers, much better matchup than he had either of the first 2 weeks, plus Devontae Adams, even though Mike Clay did mention he'll likely draw Chris Harris shadow coverage on yesterday's podcast. But outside of Emmanuel Sanders, who's been amazing so far this season, Matthew, is there a Bronco you actually start and do so with any level of conviction over the weekend, or this upcoming weekend, I should say?
No.
Yeah, you're doing so sort of hesitantly, right?
By the way, Cortland Sutton showed up on the injury report yesterday, Stefania.
He did. Bruised ribs. I'm told it's just soreness and nothing to worry about.
Okay, that's a good sign there. So maybe a little bit more confidence in him. But these running backs were a little bit, Matthew, a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, not much. I mean, honestly.
Well, he's great week one.
Oh, Cortland Sutton?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton's, yeah. So, like, maybe you throw him out there, I guess. The fact that he nothing to worry about, that's great news there from Stefania. But still, you'd be nervous. Like, I actually would prefer to play the Packers defense in this game than I would any non-Emmanuel Sanders player in this game. If you wanted to throw Cortland Sutton in there as a wide receiver 3 or 4, I get it, you know, as a flex play. If you're in a 12-team, 3-wide receiver league and Cortland Sutton's your flex play, I totally get it. I'm fine with that. But in a standard 10-team league where you only play 2 wide receivers, I think there's better options out there. Field, I would prefer like Curtis Samuel to Cortland Sutton in terms of guys that are sort of in that range here. In terms of the running backs here, look, it is a true split down the middle, right? And I don't think either guy is particularly great. I have both guys outside my top 30 for the week. If there's one saving grace here is that Royce Freeman's starting to get more involved in the passing game. 7 targets last week, same as Philip Lindsay here, but I don't know. You think about this Packers defense. Dalvin Cook had that 75-yard run against him. Remember, like, he broke free and, like, so whatever, missed tackles, and he's Dalvin Cook. Okay, but you take that play away with it, Packers actually rank sixth in preventing yardage before first contact this season. I mean, it's been a good run defense that's skewed by one big play that Dalvin Cook had, and all due respect to Lindsey and Royce Freeman, neither of them are Dalvin Cook. I would prefer to not play. I'm avoiding this game if possible.
Yeah, coming into the season, it was the good thing for Philip Lindsay is explosive plays and passing game involvement. For Royce Freeman, it was, hey, he's got the best chance of being the goal-to-go scorer for them in the running game.
Yeah.
Now they're so evenly split that both of those sort of upside factors are mitigated for each player. I'm with you. No one has either back ranked higher than 24 this week in our running back rankings.
Especially in a game where the Packers are over a touchdown favorite. You expect the Broncos to be trailing here. And so you're hoping for some passing game usage, but again, I think it's going to be Sanders and Sutton to an extent here.
Neither one of these players is really even ranked in a spot that we would consider using them in season-long fantasy, but Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison continue to be an interesting storyline to monitor. Matthew, some might say, hey, last week, Geronimo Allison had a nice game, found the end zone. He's the number two. You say au contraire. You're more of an MVS fan in this, not just this week, but for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean,
season,
it felt like a little bit kind of a jump ball situation there where Allison came down with it, which is nice. It was, you know, an off-schedule play, and Allison made a play, so did Rodgers, which was nice. But so far this season, MVS has 60 routes run to just 36 to Allison. MVS has been targeted on 20% of his routes. Geronimo Allison just 11%. And look, I had Allison as a sleeper going into the season here, but two games in, and it's hard to sort of make a judgment about anything after two games. It was sort of the premise of my open to love hate this week. If you read, is it's like, you know, I gave a lot of blind resumes that showed sort of that, hey, just because things look bleak after 2 weeks or look great after 2 weeks doesn't always work out that way. Having said that, 2 weeks in, it does appear field as if the Packers offense is more slower paced than we would expect, and they want to be more run heavy under Matt LaFleur. Like, just overall, I mean, you know, we joke about free Aaron Jones and everything like that, but the truth is they, it's more of an emphasis on the run game, and the pace hasn't been particularly fast.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that also, you said, like, we don't know what these players are going to be. Like, I still don't know what the Packers passing game is going to be because they've faced two really good defenses and another good one this weekend in Denver. Better days might be ahead. They just have a really difficult schedule this year in Green Bay. You play in a division, it's got two really good defenses, and then three good defenses in total. If you fact, you know, I think the Lions are a good defense.
They're improving.
Potentially very good. Very good secondary.
And I expect Jimmy Graham to probably miss this game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Finger issue for Jimmy Graham.
He's actually got a soft tissue injury as well, and he has not practiced. And Matt LaFleur said that in the interest of preserving his long-term health, probably protect him in the short term. So it sounds like things are pointing to Graham not being available.
So we'll see. Yeah, they promoted a tight end off the practice squad yesterday as well, which is another indication that Graham's probably not going to play here. So one of these non-Davante Adams receivers will have a good game here, but to say that I have a great feel of it, I don't.
And we're still learning.
We're still learning, and I will say that I do think Aaron Jones, despite the usage of Jamal Williams and despite the fact that the free Aaron Jones movement hasn't fully made it yet, I still think he gets enough run in a game that they're favored by that he's a viable player as a top 15 play this week.
You know, when we talk about Dollar Shave Club, we can't stress enough the quality of their products. They've spent years developing, crafting, refining everything. They have everything you can use to look, feel, and smell my best. You name it, they have it. And as amazing as their shave stuff is, Dollar Shave Club is way more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club has you covered head to toe. They have everything you need to shower, shave, style your hair, brush your teeth, and yes, even wipe your butt. And Dollar Shave Club can keep you automatically stocked up on the products. I said wipe your butt.
Wow.
You use. You get what you want whenever you need it, whether that's once a month or a few times a year. You'll never have to waste time at a store wondering if what you're getting is any good. As a Dollar Shave Club member, you know what you're getting is the highest quality. And right now, you can put the quality of Dollar Shave Club's products to the test. Their Ultimate Shave Starter Set has basically everything you need for an amazing shave. The Executive Razor, Shave Butter, Prep Scrub, and Post Shave Do. The best part is you can try it for just $5. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular prices. Get your Ultimate Starter Set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/FFF. That's dollarshaveclub.com/FFF.
Just to be clear, there's only one product from Dollar Shave Club that you use to wipe your butt. I don't want anyone out there, any of these kids listening, I don't want you using one of their razors to wipe your butt. That would be bad. That is a safety tip from your pal Maddie. Just a little heads up there. I just don't want anyone field, because I could just see it happening. Somebody uses a razor to wipe their butt. They're like, Field Yates told me to do that. And then all of a sudden it's lawsuits and it's TMZ outside your apartment and the whole thing. And so I'm saving you, Field. You're welcome.
Right, I appreciate
there.
You that.
There
no
you
one
go.
Shaves
Who's got your
butt.
Back? Don't shave your butt.
The Danny Dimes debut begins in Tampa Bay with the Giants going to play the Buccaneers. Starters here are, of course, Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram for the Giants. And for the Bucs, Mike Evans, we'll talk about him a little bit more in just a minute, and also Chris Godwin. But let's begin with the Giants and an injury of note, Stefania, is Sterling Shepard. He has become, or he has been a full participant in practice this week. But is there a difference between that and being fully cleared from the concussion protocol?
It's a good question. He was full.
That's why he asked.
Yeah, well.
Smart
you know.
Guy.
I could go down a path of. We don't have time.
Go ahead. Sterling
Shepard was limited on Wednesday, so when you do see them upgrade to full on Thursday, it usually means they've received another step of clearance. And then there's one more step, which they have to be cleared by an independent neurologic consultant in order to be eligible to play in a game, in order to be eligible to face contact. So, yes, that is typically the final step, but it sounds like he is well on his way.
Good stuff there for Sterling Shepard. He's a top 30 play for all of us. The Buccaneers have really struggled defending a slot. Since the beginning of last season, opponents are completing 76.5% of passes when targeting the slot versus the Buccaneers. Good reason to have Sterling Shepard in your lineup if he does indeed play. Now, Mike Evans is our bold pick of the week because Mike Evans, 14.9 points so far this season.
He's been bad.
13.5 points is his projection, and yet, Matthew, you still have him as a top 10 play. You have confidence, but here's the thing. This is a simple trust the talent evaluation with Mike Evans. You drafted him probably in the second round, back end of the second, maybe the top of the third going into this year. You certainly can't cut bait. Better days are ahead for Mike Evans, who feels like he's been just this close on a couple of occasions to have a big play this season.
Here's the thing. So he's got a 21% target share,
That's
slightly
good.
Down from last
but
year,
still
but
good.
Still, I mean, like the Buccaneers, and I think you have to, like, everyone's panicking, and I get it, right? Because I was high on, everyone was panicking about OJ Howard, and I was certainly high on Jameis Winston, and, you know, everyone had OJ Howard as a top six tight end going into the season. And so I get the panic, but they played the 49ers, which, Stefania, close your ears here. 49ers defense actually might not be bad, by
she
the way.
Close her ears,
I mean, they've played two games. The 49ers defense
they've
have
been
legit. Yeah. And then, so you think about that. So maybe the 49ers defense is better than we gave them credit for. And then had to travel on a short week to Carolina, bad weather. The game started and stopped. Like,
it's not far.
I understand,
it's
but still.
It's not like going across country.
I understand, but it's a short week. They weren't
but
in a hotel.
Let's not make travel
they had to get on a bus or a plane
they
or whatever.
They
had to get there.
Half
kayak.
The time when they play at home. Like, is it like, short week is the relevant part of that. Fine.
They had to travel. They weren't comfortable. They were on the road at a hostile Carolina Panther stadium. Hostile crowd. Okay. I just said something nice about your dumb 49ers. And like here, you know what?
You were like, they might be legit.
They might be. That's the nicest thing anyone said about the 49ers in 2.5 years.
What was the rest of your thought, by the way?
The rest of my thought there is that if the Buccaneers don't do it this week against the Giants, then you can full-blown panic, right? But they've had 10 days to prepare for a home game against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. The Giants have allowed opponents to complete over 71% of their passes at seventh highest. They're for 642 yards. That's third highest in the NFL. 10.6 yards per attempt also ranks third highest. That would say this should line up to be not only a good Mike Evans game, but also a good Jameis Winston game.
All right.
We made the love list this week.
Okay. You've
I'm
got
back
Jameis,
in on Jameis
you're
Winston.
You're in. You have Jameis ranked as
That's
the
right.
eighth
Just,
best quarterback.
So I've got my L ready to eat
I've got
on Monday.
Quarterback 14. This feels like an opportune time. Trying to make a board bet here.
Yes, sir.
You believe Jameis, eighth best quarterback. I've got him at 14. I believe Jameis Winston will not be a top 11 quarterback this year. You want to make a bet around that one?
I say Jameis Winston will be a top 11 quarterback in week three.
Put it on the board.
Pretty good, Jackson.
You know
well done right there.
You know what's
if he
funny
finishes
is
11,
I have
we get
him ranked
a push.
At 11.
Okay.
You have him ranked at 11?
Yeah.
Nice job, Stefania.
He finishes at 11. Stefania gets a 1 on the board over there. I've got some room to make up. Matthew's got some Buccaneers on his love list this week. I would say sort of, you know, proceed with caution here personally, but you're more into him than I am.
I just, look, it's, I believe ultimately in the scheme and the matchup here and somewhat of the talent. I don't believe Jameis Winston is as bad as he's shown. I thought there were some good signs in that Thursday night game against Carolina. I thought he made some good passes. It's still a work in progress, but ultimately I believe. And by the way, if you need a flex, Peyton Barber could be okay here.
He has certainly gotten plenty of work of late for the Bucs as Ronald Jones' role shrunk from week one to week two. Baltimore goes to Kansas City to play the Chiefs.
Before we move on, real quickly, O.J. Howard. What are you doing with O.J. Howard this week?
In a 10-team league, I'd be benching him. I've got him at tight end 13.
Yeah.
So unless I'm in a very deep league, I would be benching O.J. Howard after back-to-back
54 snaps, 17 routes, zero targets.
Let him earn his way back into my lineup. I hope I'm wrong because he has plenty of talent. The Ravens go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. The Chiefs are nearly a touchdown favorite. The players you're starting are obvious. Lamar, Mark Andrews, Patrick Mahomes, Sammy Watkins, and Travis Kelce. But Matthew, we had this conversation yesterday, and because you're the wise, sage person that you are, you agree with me. I'm more optimistic on Mark Ingram than both Stefania and Mike were. You and I both feel as though Mark Ingram is a comfortable top 20 play. They're concerned.
Mike Clay hated him?
Mike Clay hated him and Stefania. It's going to be a through the air game. Shootout game. Yeah. Here's what I said. I called my shot. He's scoring a touchdown in the first half tomorrow, on Sunday.
In the first half, I don't know about that.
They're going to get out to a hot start. They're going to lose by 10 plus points, but they're going to get out to a hot start. How's that?
I will say this. The Chiefs, so far this year, allowing a league-high 6 yards per carry. You can run on Kansas City. Mark Ingram has looked terrific so far this year. 27 carries, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 yards per carry after first contact. So not only is he getting up ahead of steam, but he's been hard to come down. He's been hard to bring down so far this year, Field. And I agree with you. You're going to Arrowhead, ding. You're going to Arrowhead, and what do you want to do? You want to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. You want to take that crowd out of it.
What I said yesterday. You're a smart man. You're getting better with your old age.
They are going to run the ball. His current projection is 11.1 points. Give me the over. He wasn't on the love list, but he should have been. I'm at running back 16. You and I are right there, Stefania. I don't know what you're thinking. You went to Princeton. You're supposed to be smart. You have him ranked to 25, which is dumb. So I don't get it.
I've been reminded about fantasy football through Chapin this year because she's playing this game. She's not sitting there working through projection models all week to figure out what's real and what's not real. Sometimes
can we take 1 minute here to talk about Chapin and her fantasy football? I discovered this on the gram, and I don't think we've brought this up on the show yet. I discovered this on the gram. But why don't you tell all the people what Chapin chose as her avatar for her fantasy football team?
I think she chose you.
She did indeed. Thank you very much. God bless you, Chapin Duke Yates.
She is the commissioner of 3 separate leagues.
Is she really?
One of them is an 18-team league.
Oh, my God. You should marry that girl.
Not a bad idea, right?
Oh my goodness. So anyway, yes, Chapin chose me as her avatar.
Chapin just knows exactly how to appeal to you.
Chapin's the best.
She's so smart. If I put this here, Matthew will think that I think he's awesome.
Stop it.
That'll change once you screw up with love hate call.
What
she's reminding me of is
me and Beth love Chapin.
No matter what. The numbers tell you how all the projections can line up, all the metrics that might matter can line up and say, you got to play this guy. Or you might not want to play this guy. Sometimes people just play the game emotionally. DJ Shark has back-to-back great weeks in week one and week two, you're going to play him in week three, right? So my point on Hollywood Brown is that he's been amazing through 2 weeks. I don't care whether there were encouraging numbers or less than encouraging numbers. You're playing Hollywood Brown because you've seen in 2 weeks he's one of the most explosive players already in the NFL. You're playing Hollywood Brown. He's a top 27 play for all 3 of us this week.
19.4 yards per reception this season. He's been targeted on 45% of his routes this year. And I agree with you, Field, because it's not only about the fact that he's been terrific the first 2 weeks, but there's also a thing with when you're drafting, you're like, that's my guy. I got Hollywood Brown in the 12th round or whatever it is, or DJ Shark. I picked him up in the free agency. Although Stefania, I will say, credit to her, She picked DJ Shark in the last round of the War Room League.
Nice. So well done.
I played him last night. Well, I got burned 2 weeks by putting him on my bench because, you know, we're going to wait and see how he does. Yeah.
There you go. That was a very, very nice pick because I went to go look and see who had DJ Shark in the War Room League, and it is Star Fania Bell who drafted him in the 16th round. Nice job there. So, but anyway, there's an emotional connection to a guy that you drafted who has panned out that you got late in your draft. I'm with you. You're starting Hollywood Brown this week.
One of the most compelling stories of the weekend is a bunch of running back health statuses to Vanya. Along those lines, the Chiefs have not one but two injuries. Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy are limited this week.
Right. LeSean McCoy with an ankle issue, didn't practice on Wednesday, did get in some limited work on Thursday. I think if I'm looking at the who I feel more confident about right now, it's LeSean McCoy, believe it or not. Damian Williams, we talked yesterday on the pod about what a knee contusion is and how it could be problematic. He has not practiced at all, and I think we'll wait and see what he does. Obviously, today, a big day. But as I said yesterday, if he's got limited motion, if the bruising is enough that it's keeping him from being able to, you know, have full motion and full strength in his leg, you're not going to put him out there and risk further injury. LeSean McCoy banged up with an ankle issue, probably just keeping his workload low to allow him the best chance to be ready to go on Sunday. But there's a chance that he could be the one, and Damian Williams could miss.
So when you think about that, and it feels like it's trending that direction. Today's practice will tell a lot.
But that LeSean McCoy, no Damian Williams.
It feels like it's trending that way. And so it would be interesting to see, because could you see some Darwin Thompson, who in the preseason, 15 total touches, 98 yards, touchdown, 5'8", 200 pounds. Like, he is fast. Like, sure. He's kind of a guy that isn't going to get a ton of plays, but it's, you know, big play potential. And I think Darwin Thompson is somebody that should probably be rostered and is like an interesting guy in DFS and tournament plays. I don't know that you're necessarily starting him in a 10-team league until you see it, but that's sort of interesting. And the other thing is like, if you're in a super deep league, like in the War Room League, I grabbed Daryl Williams. So if Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy were to miss, everyone's talked about Darwin Thompson, but Darwin Thompson, again, 5'8", 200 pounds, he doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to carry the load, right? And so you think about Daryl Williams, the former LSU player, 6 foot, 225 pounds. He projects more as kind of a feature back. I don't know that he's, you know, an amazing player, but if you're the lead running back of a Kansas City offense, like, you have fantasy value. Again, the Chiefs running back so far this year, just as a whole, top 10 in targets, top 5 in receiving yards, top 4 in receptions, the first in red zone receptions. When you're a Kansas City Chief running back under Andy Reid, good things happen.
Good things can certainly happen in that Kansas City offense. So last thought here is that obviously DeMarcus Robinson was amazing last week. Mecole Hardman had a touchdown and one more called off the board. Kind of back to this Hollywood Brown thing. Like, yes, it's possible that either one of them goes for two catches for 37 yards. But if you're looking for upside, who presents more upside than the Kansas City Chiefs, especially playing at home for the first time this season? I think it's an either or. If you have one or the other on your roster, you may not have both, but if you do, I wouldn't play both of them. But if you're looking for an upside flex play, they would be it. But just, you know, tread lightly, because there's also the risk that either one of them is not super relevant. Mecole Hardman had 0 catches in week 1. I believe Robinson may have had 1 or 2 catches in week 1. So
there's definitely risk reward there. I prefer Robinson to Hardman this week. He ran more routes. He was targeted on more routes the previous week. Worth noting, this Ravens secondary is pretty beat up these days.
It is. Jimmy Smith. Yeah, they're a speculated target for Jalen Ramsey.
They are indeed, and that would make sense, but certainly Ramsey playing last night, he's not going to play this week if he ends up going to the Ravens. Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald both over 100 yards last week at Baltimore. And again, with a run game banged up, you expect them to sort of attack Baltimore through the air. So, look, Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins are going to get theirs. How many balls are they going to go around? We saw last week, could be a lot. So I do, it's risk reward there, but I think Robinson and or Hardman could certainly do some damage on Sunday.
Texans play the Chargers in Los Angeles. I think we're kind of at the point where we're learning about this running game in Houston. And by the way, the starters, Deshaun, DeAndre, Austin Eckler, and Keenan Allen. But for the Texans, it's getting sort of like role reversing already. Carlos Hyde is clearly the workhorse guy in this backfield, whereas Duke Johnson is back to what Duke Johnson does, right? Which is like catch 3 to 5 passes a game, maybe get 3 to 5 rushing attempts per game.
Think about that statement for a second.
I know.
Carlos Hyde is clearly the workhorse back in this offense.
Crazy, like, but he's run well, too.
He heard what you said about him. Huh?
He heard what you said about him.
Apparently. Yeah. Maybe you're welcome, Carlos Hyde managers. You're welcome, Carlos Hyde, if I inspired you. But you are absolutely right. Like, get this, Field. Here's the entire list of players in the NFL that have at least 80 rushing yards in both games this season.
Okay.
Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, great company to keep right there. So I would just say I have less optimism than you do. I've got both of them as RB4s because small workload for Duke Johnson, limited passing game value for Carlos Hyde. He's going to have to kind of fall into the end zone to make it worthwhile. And the Chargers bottled up last week, Kerryon Johnson in the running game. So I expect this to be a difficult road to hoe for Carlos Hyde versus Duke.
I think he's okay. I'm actually more confident on him than you are. So I have him at 29, right? Chargers allowing 4.87 yards per carry this season. That's sixth most in yards per carry after first contact. So Carlos Hyde, to your point, has looked good. And I think I don't think this is much of a split. I mean, Duke Johnson got 6 touches last week.
Right.
And so my expectation here in a game where the Chargers are only a 3-point favorites, like, I think it's going to be fairly close, and it's an over under 47.5. So I think it's a reasonably high scoring game that's relatively close. I actually think Hyde's projection is 8.1 points. Give me the over. He didn't make my love list, but I would take the over on 8.1.
So let's get to some of the complimentary wide receivers.
Would you take the under? You want to do another board bet? I'll give you another board bet.
But like 8.1 is not like that many points. Like that's like if he'd get 8.5, it wouldn't surprise me, right?
Sure.
Like that wouldn't surprise that much. Or even 10, maybe. I just don't have a ton of confidence on Carlos Hyde.
All right, fair enough.
So let's get to the wide receivers who aren't DeAndre Hopkins or Keenan Allen. Will Fuller and Mike Williams. Either one of them earned your trust that you feel like, okay, hey, they should be in my lineup this week.
Trust is a strong word.
You use that often, yeah. it's a strong word.
Do I trust? No, but I'm more bullish on Will Fuller than either of you guys. I have him at 39. You guys both have him in the low 40s. And so Will Fuller leads the Texans in routes run so far this season.
No kidding.
You think about the Chargers secondary, which we thought would be a strength coming into the season, but a little bit banged up, and they've struggled. No question about it. They've allowed opponents to complete over 75% of the passes. That's the third highest rate. Only the Redskins and the Dolphins are worse in that statistic. They've actually allowed a touchdown on 7% of passes. That is the sixth highest rate in the NFL. And so Fuller, who's averaging 23.7 air yards per target, that's the highest rate in the NFL. Like, they're going to take a few deep shots to Will Fuller. And so, you know, under the category of you only need one, you know Hopkins is going to get his. But, you know, Kenny Stills and Kiki Cutie haven't really been integrated fully into this offense yet. And so Will Fuller, yeah. I mean, like, again, there's risk reward there. He's a deep threat, but I'm more bullish than you guys, I think he's a wide receiver 3 with upside.
You've got Mike Williams as a wide receiver. You mean Will Fuller's a wide receiver 4 with upside, you mean?
Wide receiver 4
based
with upside.
Based off your ranking, Williams is closer to a wide receiver 3 borderline there. Mike Williams did not seem to be slowed down by the injury last week, Spine. That was good.
You know, this is one of those things where watching the game is different than the stats. And I did not think he looked great. He went up for a ball near the end zone, came down, and was very slow to get up, kind of limped off the field and came back on. The good news is he's been fully practicing and looks much better this week. So I actually feel better about Mike Williams' health. And just for people who are wondering, because Keenan Allen was limited in practice throughout the week himself, but he is expected to play.
Good stuff there for Keenan Allen. Let's talk about the Steelers and the 49ers next. But first, a word via Matthew on ZipRecruiter.
Hiring can be a slow process.
Is that right?
You have no idea how long
it
took me to get these two on the podcast. And you think about, and it's not just me, Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you, Field. Its technology identifies people with the right experiences and invites them to apply for your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. I'm surprised to find you didn't apply for that. With results like that, it's no wonder if there was a director
of
wine.
How do you know I didn't? But I didn't get floated to the top because they picked the perfect match.
There you go. That makes sense. Anyway, With results like that, it is no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Before we switch to the Steelers 49ers, just a quick note. DeSean Jackson officially ruled out for this game. They are still leaving the door open for Alshon Jeffrey and Dallas Goedert, so stay tuned.
Of course, find out all the information on inactives on
leaving the
Sunday.
Door open for what? Like Elijah? Like for them to come in? Like, what do you mean? Like opening the...
Like, their Eagles are leaving the door open like they're hoping.
Like, and are so they outside the house? What does that mean?
They might play on Sunday. Let's get to the Steelers and 49ers. This game is being played in San Francisco. The starters here, Juju Vance on the Steelers side, plus George Kittle, Stefania's tight end on the 49ers side.
That's right.
James Conner, Stefania. Good news here on the injury front for him. He practiced yesterday in full.
Yeah, that is good news, but I'm not sure how he looked. You know, I'm not really convinced he's going to be 100%. You know, I think that they're happy. It looks like he's going to make the trip, looks like he's going to be able to play. Obviously, you want to see how he does the day after. That was his first practice, so let's see how he responds.
Okay, good news there that he's going to at least play. We'll see how well he responds. Matthew and I, a little bit more optimistic than Stefania, both have him as a top 13 play this week. Obviously, big part of the passing game there, and you figure with Mason Rudolph starting, part of the mindset for the Steelers will be make him comfortable by allowing James Conner to get going.
Yeah, one thing I will say is like, so James Conner made the hate list this week because when I wrote the article, his projection was at 16.9. I took the under there. So he's now at 14.6. Mike has lowered the projection a little bit because of the injury. I am concerned. Normally I would put him in, he'd be a no-brainer starter. And I think if you have him, you have to start him. But I think normally he'd be a top 6 or 7 guy. So the fact that none of us have him as a top 10 play, well, as a running back too, or in Stefania's case, more of a flex play, just shows you, we have some concerns here. 49ers allowing just 3.24 yards per carry this season. That's 7th best.
I like it, Matthew, what you're calling here. You love James Washington. Now, love is a very relative term. You still got him ranked as wide receiver 48, but you believe that they can rekindle some of that Stillwater, Oklahoma magic. Mason Rudolph to James Washington. Excellent college quarterback to the Biletnikoff winner. You're in this week.
Yeah, I mean, again, love-hate is all about what I think they do relative to their projection on ESPN.com. James Washington's projection is 6.9 points. I am taking the over there. Past two preseasons, and this is per our friend Adam Levitan, who tracks this stuff, past two seasons, 17 receptions, 366 yards, 4 touchdowns on 216 snaps with Mason Rudolph under center at Oklahoma State, as you mentioned. James Washington had 39 touchdown receptions, 32 of them came from Mason Rudolph. He averaged 19.7 yards per catch with Mason Rudolph. I interviewed both these guys a couple of years ago at the NFLPA Rookie Premier in Los Angeles, and they could not have been more effusive about each other. So now the fact that they're going to get to play together in the NFL in a real game, and the fact that Dante Moncrief can't catch anything, he can't even catch a cold.
Right.
Like, it's been brutal. Like, he stood in the shower and under cold water, can't catch a cold. Like, it's been bad. So my expectation here is that James Washington gets a heavy target share here in a game
enough.
And plays a lot of snaps. And again, I was the only one to rank him.
My favorite Steelers wide receiver. It's under the radar this week. Not ranked, but I think a player we'll be talking about on Monday or Tuesday. Deontay Johnson, third-round pick out of Toledo. Keep an eye on that name right there. You can obviously move on from Dante Moncrief after a very uninspiring start.
I say James Washington has a better fantasy day in week 3 than Deontay Johnson.
Interesting. I kind of think James Washington has more big play upside, so it makes me a little bit hesitant. But YOLO, I say Deontay Johnson has a better fantasy day than James Washington in week 3. Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
Boom. Let's keep it rolling here. A couple of 49ers running backs actually make the love list here, Matthew. Both Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert.
Can Stefania leave the room? I don't like saying nice things about the 49ers.
Okay,
Stefania,
get out of here, Stefania.
Stefania, don't look at me.
JK,
I don't want to. This is so awkward and weird. But yes. Yes. Look, 49ers have been the second run heaviest team through 2 weeks in the NFL, right? Only the Minnesota Vikings run more than San Francisco, and some of that has been game flow. They have been up big on both the Buccaneers and the Bengals, but still, Field. they're running well, which is not a surprise if you've followed Kyle Shanahan's coaching at all.
This is Shanahan's dream come true, is that it's working.
Right, 100%.
Not the personnel they started out with.
Fair enough. It really is. And then you think, well, people are like, wow, but it's this three-headed monster. How do I make sense of it? But if you think about this, when the game last week was within 10 points, so it was still relatively a close game because they really blew the Bengals out. When the game was within 10 points, Matt Breida had 11 snaps. Raheem Mostert played 7. Jeffrey Wilson played 2.
Yeah.
And I think that's right. Like, I think this is going to be the Breida-Mostert show. And so I think both guys are very viable flex plays, in a matchup here, against Pittsburgh. You know, the Steelers have the 11th highest opponent rush percentage through 2 weeks. People are running successfully on Pittsburgh so far this year. And so Mostert, who has 22 carries for 123 yards this year, averaging 5.6 yards per carry. Like, both guys have looked good, and, you know, so I think both guys are viable flex plays. I think they both get enough run in a game in which the Niners are favored by almost a touchdown here.
Yeah, big opportunity for the Niners to go to 3-0 this weekend and certainly send the Steelers' season into much more of a tumble. And our friend, Not Cool Keith, will be at the Browns and Rams game on Sunday night in Cleveland, a massive moment, a chance for the Browns to totally.
Hey, Not Cool Keith, just real quickly, and I can't hear because I don't have my thing, so feel to translate. But will you have security with you, or will fans be able to approach you at the if they find you at the Browns stadium?
Theme song over the loudspeaker in the stadium?
Well, that's definite. Yes. I've already
definitely going to do that.
But as far as the security goes, yeah, I think I can handle myself. I mean, look at me. I'm pretty sturdily built.
He says he'll be able to handle himself. He'll be able to handle himself by all means.
So feel free to, when you see Not Cool Keith at the game, don't be intimidated. Don't be weirded out. Just feel free to approach him for a picture, for an autograph, for a video for your fantasy league.
Friends.
By all means, he'll sign your shirt, whatever you need from Not Cool Keith. He's not a big, big star or stuck up anything like that. He likes to talk to the little people. So.
Our friend and yours, Not Cool Keith, will be there on Sunday. Matthew, you have a pair of quarterbacks. It's Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Sunday night game.
Yeah, we don't have that good game.
Right, correct. Rams and Browns, Sunday night. Both quarterbacks actually make the hate list for you here, Matthew. Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield. We know that Goff has really struggled on the road over the past, well, heck, his entire career.
Yeah, specifically, he actually wasn't as bad a couple years ago on the road, but like
he was
last
just bad.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, but last year and certainly this year, he's been brutal on the road, 13.3 fantasy points per game, averaging just 237.4 passing yards. I actually believe in 2017, actually was good on the road.
I'm sorry, I was referring to rookie years, what I'm saying. Yes.
Right. But anyway, so for the last year and couple of games, he's been brutal on the road. Again, 237, passing yards a game, 13 fantasy points per game, literally road Goff worse than Blake Bortles over that stretch. Just to give you a comparison here. And I think that those struggles continue on Sunday night. Look, Browns crowd is going to get really into this. They're going to be primetime game, Not Cool Keith in the house. Like, they're going to be up for this.
That alone should be good. They're going to be super excited.
Like, just wear something nice because you'll probably be on the Jumbotron, Keith. They'll probably like Chiron you or something like that. So just make sure you wear something nice. Look good, whole thing. Don't pick your nose, whole thing.
How about Baker Mayfield?
But here's the thing on Jared Goff, right? He struggles under pressure. Browns bring pressure at the third highest rate this season. Myles Garrett and company have been really good at getting to the quarterback here. So, when he's pressured for his career, Jared Goff has just a 3.4% touchdown rate. That is a bottom 12 touchdown rate. So he really struggles under pressure. I think Cleveland brings the pressure. My expectation here is that, it's going to be short passes. It's going to be a running game, which is one of the reasons why I like Gurley in this game. And I don't like Brandon Cooks in this game. We can get to him in a second. As for Baker Mayfield getting there, look, I thought Baker Mayfield looked bad. Right? Like, I thought he did not look good in this, against the Jets in week 2. He missed open receivers. He threw into double coverage here. Rams allowed the fourth fewest yards per pass attempt so far this season. Baker Mayfield, if you take away the two crazy Odell Beckham Jr. plays from last Monday night, right? The one-handed over the shoulder catch and then the 89-yard touchdown, which was mostly Beckham. You take those two plays away for the season, Baker Mayfield is averaging 59% completion percentage, has just one touchdown pass, 4 interceptions. Now, Odell Beckham Jr. is a special player, so that's within his skill set. But I don't know. You know,
it's been a rough start, no question about it, for Baker Mayfield. He has a lot to prove, and the Browns' schedule is not getting any easier. What a massive game this is going to be on Sunday.
So both guys outside my top 10 for
Sunday
night.
Let's finish here with Jarvis Landry, who not just is he not targeted like he was last year, like he may not even be fantasy, you know, playable right now, Matthew. A top, outside of our top 30 for all three of us, flex consideration feels like a stretch right now. He's 62nd in receiving yards. Right now, this season, he has been barely targeted. I mean, 7 catches for 99 yards. You used to get that in a single game from Jarvis Landry. We got to see him. We got to see them find him more. He's a talented guy.
He's definitely very talented. But it's one of the reasons why we were down on him, or at least I certainly was. He made the preseason hate list for me. I was down on him. I had him ranked really low because, look, Jarvis Landry, for fantasy relevancy, needs volume. He's never been a big touchdown guy. He's had only 1 year, I believe, in his career with more than 5 touchdown catches. Like, he's always been a guy that relied on volume for his fantasy success, and I just didn't think there was any way he was going to get it with Odell Beckham Jr. in town and with an offense under Freddie Kitchens that's more, you know, run-pass equal than I think people thought. I think they saw some of the big plays from Baker and they thought this was going to be like a pass-heavy offense. It's not. It's a balanced offense. Now, we'll see with David Njoku, Stefania banged up. Maybe he gets more targets here, but...
No, Njoku's out probably, I would say, for multiple weeks.
Right. Yeah, so that's what he was saying, is that because he'll be out, right, more of Jarvis Landry. We'll
maybe
see.
Maybe more Landry.
Yeah, maybe more Landry, but... I mean, it's a wait and see. I would not feel confident starting him. I'm at 37, Field, you at 35, all of Stefania at 35. Like, none of us think he's a top 30 play.
We're taking a quick break, and we're coming back to talk about a potential NFC Championship preview.
Tennessee, you're in the 06-010.
As we said, a potential NFC Championship game preview right here on ESPN on Monday Night Football. The Bears at Redskins, the nation's capital. Matthew Berry will not be there, but David Montgomery actually makes your loveless, Matthew. He had a touchdown last week. It wasn't a particularly efficient game, but you believe it could come on Monday against your beloved Redskins.
I certainly do. So first off, you'd be encouraged by the usage of David Montgomery. So of the 25 different running back carries that Chicago had in week 2, 18 of them went to David Montgomery. That's 72%.
Right.
Week 1, it was 54.5. So obviously they're increasing their trust here in David Montgomery. And it was brutal, right? I mean, they gave him, like, I don't know, 5 chances to score a touchdown, which drove me crazy because literally, like, you watch the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, right?
Never heard of it.
Yeah. So the Statapillar, Damon Dabrowski. So I played him in our dynasty league that we're all in. I lost 117.3 to 117.2 to the stupid Statapillar. And he has David Montgomery, who they gave 5 chances to. And eventually he got in, by the way. And then my little Cooper Kupp gets a touchdown pulled back, which it shouldn't have happened at all. Like, that should have been a touchdown. That I got completely, yes. I got boned on that one. And then, and so anyway, I shouldn't have lost. And then he got the last point because Nick Chubb somehow came back into the game after, I think, suffering a concussion on Monday night and got 1 yard. And that's how he got that point.
And yet,
so I'm all
you
bitter.
Love him.
What?
And yet you love him.
Who?
David Montgomery.
Yes, David Montgomery. Yes. Well, yes, I do love David Montgomery. Okay, look. Here's the thing on David Montgomery. 72%. I'll reset it here for the video. But yes, 72% of the Bears running back carries in week 2. You're encouraged by that. 5 goal to go carries that came in week 2. That's now tied for the NFL lead in terms of running back goal to go carries here. Redskins are one of the worst teams against the run in the NFL so far, 31st against the run through 2 weeks. And so game is at Washington here. My expectation here is that David Montgomery gets a heavy workload and is successful against a Skins defense that continues to look for its footing. That defensive 7 that we thought was going to be so strong hasn't really showed up so far this season.
How about for the Redskins, Matthew? Is there a player that you're actually considering starting and doing so with the hope that he'll actually make good on a massive night? It feels like the answer is kind of obvious.
I mean, if I had to start a Redskins player, I guess it's Terry McLaurin. Look, I mean, look, the Bears have a very, very good defense, and obviously the secret's out on McLaurin, so they're going to focus on him, but... Here's a guy that's a top 12 wide receiver through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Does he have a nickname yet or no?
Huh?
Does he have a nickname yet or no?
I mean, you know, my nicknames for him aren't appropriate, but they're, you know, They're very romantic in nature. Okay. I love him.
Terry Touchdown would work.
Terry
right?
Touchdown. Touchdown Terry would work.
Touchdown Terry.
I don't believe he has a nickname yet. He's just really good, right? The last wide receiver with 60 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown in each of his first two career games, Calvin Johnson.
Good
just
company
saying.
To be in there anyway, for Terry McLaurin. So we'll keep an eye on whether he can make good on the opportunity on Monday night. Just needs one, right? That's been his thing.
He just needs one. He scored last week in junk touchdown. Look, he's the real deal just in terms of his route running and how polished he is. And, you know, they're going to be throwing in this game. But, you know, in what should be a low scoring game, over under is 41.5. Two offenses that have been inconsistent so far this season. If I had to start a Redskin, it would be McLaurin, but I do think the Bears, I prefer the Bears defense than any Redskin offensive player.
Jordan Reed not expected to play again this week.
Too bad for him. That concussion certainly is scary and has lingered for quite some time. The Bengals go to Buffalo to play the Bills. You're starting Josh Allen plus Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd on the Bengals side. I get it. Joe Mixon has been very frustrating with the rushing output there. Hopefully his passing game involvement can be good. But can you continue to count on John Ross? Back-to-back games with a hot start, Matthew, but he's on your hate list this week. Are you nervous that maybe that late touchdown last week was a reflection that, like, you know, that was just lucky?
No, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's luck. I'm a believer in John Ross's talent. I'm a believer in his usage in this offense. It's more of a belief in what the Bills do defensively. It's a really good defense
it is,
there.
Yeah.
So far they've allowed a league low last year they allowed a league low 3.8 points per deep completion. And so far this year, teams have completed one deep pass on the Buffalo Bills. Look, I think, you know, he'll see more Tre'Davious White in this game than you would like if you were starting John Ross. So my expectation here is that the way you beat Buffalo is not with a deep pass. Like, they're going to have to grind it out. It's going to have to be dink and dunk. It's going to have to be Tyler Boyd in the slot. So my expectation here is that they're not going to let John Ross beat him. He needs that big play. So I'm concerned about John Ross in that one. So, you know.
We'll see. Yep. John Ross, though, certainly has been, it's been encouraging to at least see him being utilized in the proper way for the Bengals. Not much has gone right for them offensively this year, but the passing game has been pretty solid. Devin Singletary for the Bills, Stefania. He's banged up, missed back-to-back days of practice. Seems like the tea leaves, if you read them right now, tell you what you need to know about his availability for Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much summed it up. He hasn't been in practice. He hurt his hamstring late in last week's game, and we saw him limp off the field, and he's still got a window to see what happens today, but certainly not what you want with your running back. You know, he was out there watching practice yesterday, but that doesn't do you much good. So,
okay. Right well, now, along those lines.
So we will stay tuned on that, but
you know,
sound
who's not
like
hurt? Frank Gore.
Frank Gore is, who makes your love list, actually, Matthew. Would you rank him, if you were to sit Devin Singletary, how high would Frank Gore climb in your rankings? Or do you already have him ranked
as
such?
I did not rank Frank Gore. I did not rank Devin Singletary.
So you've got Gore at 30, which is where you would rank him, absent Devin Singletary.
Yeah, so, I mean, Bengals have allowed the third most rushing yards so far this season. Gave up 259 last week to San Francisco here. And since the beginning of last year, they're allowing the second most yards per carry before first contact. You can run on the Bengals. The only concern with Frank Gore, and why I have him a little bit lower, and maybe he'll rise up if we know for sure that Devin Singletary isn't going to play, but my expectation is I don't know that they still want to give him a full workload. Like, I think this is a big Josh Allen game. I think they're going to throw. Josh Allen's always a threat to sort of run it in himself. Remember, Josh Allen, 6 rushing touchdowns in 6 games here. I think you see a lot more T.J. Yeldon in this one.
Should see
Devin's.
Yeldon getting involved. I agree on all that. So, but Frank Gore, clearly the running back that you would want to play if Devin Singletary does sit.
Yeah, I mean,
Sunday.
His projection is 10.4 points, so I'm taking the over there. That's why he makes the love list here. But I don't think you see him involved in the passing game all that much, and so that limits his upside. But yes, if Devin Singletary's out in this matchup, a very, very viable flex play.
All right, the Saints go to Seattle to play the Seahawks. Obviously, no Drew Brees, but that means Teddy Bridgewater and some Taysom Hill will be under center for New Orleans. Alvin Kamara and Mike Thomas obviously are playing them. Matthew, is there any reason to entertain the thought of playing somebody, not name one of those two guys amongst the Saints offensive players?
I think Jared Cook. I mean, you know, if you wanted to, like, look, tight end is such
been
a
bad through two games, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look,
but
I was down on Jared.
Ends, yeah.
You guys know I'm not a Jared Cook fan. You guys know that, you know, I was lower on him in my preseason ranks than the consensus was. I mean, I literally have 16 teams. I have 0 shares of Jared Cook because I go by my rankings, and literally always, there was always somebody willing to take Jared Cook before I was. Having said that, look, here's a guy that, you know, has a decent matchup with Seattle. So far this year, opponents have completed 16 of 18 passes to tight ends for 131 yards and two touchdowns against Seattle. I mean, we saw Vance McDonald get into the end zone twice against them last week. And so, Jared Cook, who should get a slightly higher target share with Traquan Smith banged up as well. And so, kind of maybe a safety valve for Teddy Bridgewater. Again, I have him at 11, but you're asking me, is there a Saint that you could start not named Kamara or Michael Thomas? I would get it if you started Jared Cook, giving the state of the tight end position.
Don't need to belabor this point all that much. We'll just note that Tyler Lockett makes the love list for Matthew after a career game last week. He had those 10 catches against the Steelers, should be productive again. Feels like last week was a much more accurate reflection of the kind of player he's going to be as opposed to week one, when I think he had, two targets, one catch. It happened to go for a touchdown, but still, not expecting a lot of one or two catch games from Tyler Lockett this season.
Saints always struggle with slot corners. PJ Williams has had another tough year. You start your slot guys against the Saints.
All right, Stefania, tell us about SeatGeek before we bring it on home with the last three games of the.
You ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
I do.
It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience.
Yeah, right?
The real question is, how easy could it be if those ticketing sites actually cared?
Ooh!
With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way.
What?
Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place.
They do?
In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd.
Yeah!
They build the fastest way to find tickets so you can stop searching for the perfect seat and start enjoying it.
All righty!
It's a better process. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web.
Then that sounds good!
Rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. And finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map.
Neato!
SeatGeek... thought I could ignore you for a whole read. I just can't. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals and red dots are overpriced.
Okay.
And every purchase is fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today. Use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase.
That sounds like a lot. That sounds like a good deal. What's that promo code again?
FFF.
Oh.
There you go. $10 off your first purchase. Let's get to Atlanta at Indianapolis. The Colts are actually favored in this game. For the Falcons, of course, you're starting Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. For the Colts, you feel pretty good about T.Y. Hilton, but we begin with one of his offensive teammates, Stefania, Marlon Mack, back-to-back days of no participation in practice. Yikes.
Yeah, I know. This makes me concerned because he hasn't been out there at all. It's a calf injury. We saw it last year when Marlon Mack had a soft tissue injury that he missed a little time. I think he had a hamstring issue at the beginning of last season. Calf injuries are tough because they can feel really good walking around, but then when they try to push off, they try to run, it becomes a problem, and I doubt they want it lingering throughout the year. So he's going to have to show something today for them to change their mind and allow him to be cleared. So stay tuned. This report should come out fairly soon.
Okay,
whether
good
he's
news
able
there.
To do anything today.
Matthew, if he plays, do you play Marlon Mack? Is it that simple? Like, he goes, you go? And if he doesn't play, do you have confidence in a next man up running back for the Colts?
Yeah, so a couple of things here. So first off, I think if Marlon Mack's active, I think you're playing him. I think you have to. And certainly I would encourage everyone to tune into Fantasy Football Now Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2. I'm a company man. Stefania will obviously have the latest on Marlon Mack, and she'll, Stefania does a great job of just saying, like, I know he's active, but it makes me nervous, or he should be good to go. So, but if Marlon Mack does not play, Jordan Wilkins is available in almost every ESPN league, looked good in limited time last week. You think about the Falcons, who have allowed 4 rushing touchdowns so far this year. That's most in the NFL. Now, I mean, one of them was a Carson Wentz dive over the 1 yard line kind of thing. But still, Wilkins will get a decent amount of workload here. And it's one of the best offensive lines in football. And the Colts, at least through 2 weeks without Andrew Luck, have seemed to go, we want to go conservative. We've got to go run heavy. We want to put Jacoby Brissett in sort of game manager mode. So my expectation is if Marlon Mack misses this game, they don't change all of a sudden their offensive scheme. It is going to be Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines. Jordan Wilkins, to me, would be a legit RB2. For those of you looking around trying to, scrounging, like, hey, I just lost Devin Singletary, whoever, if you need some running back help. So I think Jordan, or to replace Marlon Mack, I think, or Damian Williams, right? So I think Jordan Wilkins, a legit top 20 play against the Falcons, and Nyheim Hines going against a Falcons defense for the last 4 years that has given up the most running back receptions suddenly becomes a viable flex play.
Okay, interesting stuff there. Calvin Ridley is wider. Excuse me, before we get to Calvin Ridley, is this kind of a put-up or shut-up game for Devontae Freeman? Because he's been bad for the first 2 weeks of this season. If he struggles again, Matthew, are you saying to yourself on Monday, I'm not sure what to do with this guy anymore. Time to, you know, move on if I can?
A little bit. I'm nervous about him. I ranked him 25th. I am outside my top 20 here. Like, you know, look, it's a good matchup. Colts allow 5.53 yards per carry, which is sixth most in the NFL. Like, you can run on them, and their defense is banged up. So this is one where I feel like my ranking, as we get closer to Sunday morning, my ranking may inch up a little bit, but I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically a timeshare here with Ito Smith.
Right.
And I think this is a big, you're about ready to get to Calvin Ridley. Like, I think this is a big Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley game.
Good stuff there. I appreciate that. And moving along to Calvin Ridley, you just mentioned him, Matthew. He's been awesome so far this season. That's like, is that going to keep going forward?
Yeah, I think so, especially given the pass heavy nature of this team and the fact that they so far this year haven't been able to run the ball. And so, you know, Mohamed Sanu hasn't really seemed to be a big factor in this offense as much as he was last year. Now, it's been weird for the Falcons. I mean, again, we're only two games in. So they got blown out by the Vikings in week one, and so it was a bunch of junk time, right? They had to throw a ton, and so Calvin Ridley, total junk time there. And then it was a shootout with the Eagles in week two. But so that's my only concern here with the Colts, right, is that does it get sort of shootout-y, again, knowing that the Colts want to sort of control the clock and be more game manager with Jacoby Brissett. But you're looking at an over-under of 47 here, and so Calvin Ridley is a wide receiver four with upside for all of us. I'm more nervous about Devontae Freeman than I am Calvin Ridley in this game, and I do think Matt Ryan and Julio have big games.
Yeah, I came into the season with some reservations about Devontae Freeman just because of the yards per carry dipping year over year, and it's not been a particularly encouraging start. Now, a couple of bad circumstances. Philadelphia's good. Minnesota game kind of got away from Atlanta, so I hope this is a big bounce back week for Devontae Freeman.
If he doesn't do it against the Colts, then you've really got to start to be nervous.
You got yourself a problem.
And the Colts defense, which is normally good, again, they're pretty banged up.
Yes, they sure are. The Jets go to the Patriots. The spread here is minus 23, 43.5 points. I think I saw somewhere, I think it was maybe Football Perspective Chase. I don't know. It was a good tweet. Basically, the fact that it was like the Jets have like a 10-point projection, one of the lowest projections you'll see or have seen in quite some time. For the Jets, you are starting Le'Veon Bell, who has been really good. I guess the question really is this, is don't start anybody besides Le'Veon Bell for the Jets. Is there anybody for the Patriots you aren't starting this week that you would normally start? Obviously, you're starting Brady and Sony Michel and Antonio Brown, who is on track as of this moment to play on Sunday, and Julian Edelman, James White. Like, we know how this game, how we figure this game is likely to go.
The only question is Josh Gordon. With Antonio Brown, again, expected to play and being more involved in this offense, how much run does Josh Gordon get in a game in which we expect the Patriots to be up really big, and then that might limit somewhat? Brady will do enough damage, you know, when they start, you know, just sort of running the ball. But Josh Gordon would be the only one that makes me a little bit nervous here.
Yeah, I agree on that. I mean, we saw it last week, right? I mean, like, I get it. It was the first week of Antonio Brown, but you figure if Antonio Brown is playing that many more snaps this week, plus Philip Dorsett is starting to get it as well. Maybe the most interesting question here is, like, can the Patriots keep their touchdownless streak going?
Yes, I believe so.
Defensively, right? So the Patriots have yet to allow a touchdown in two games. Can they keep it going for a third game?
One thing that I would say, Field, and I just want to point this out, you never want to root for injury. But I will say, and roster construction is always tough, but I will just say that if you can, grab Ty Montgomery. Because again, like, they're going to use Le'Veon Bell so much in the game, they have to.
Right, they sure.
And this is just, I mean, like, he's played one full season in his NFL career, and that was 2014. Like, he's already had an MRI, and I get it. He's fully healthy, and he's looked great. I just, you know, if the pass is any kind of indicator, at some point, Ty Montgomery is going to have to see significant snaps. Also worth noting in terms of sneaky pickups, as long as we're talking about this, we talked about this earlier in the week, Field, but Chris Herndon, right? I mean, Sam Darnold expected back by week five. Yep. You know, so
Herndon can return in week six because he's got a four-game suspension, so he'll miss, obviously, this game on Sunday.
Yep.
The bye does not count towards the suspension. He'll miss the game after that. But week six, you could have Chris Herndon back on your roster.
Just right. And so I think the offense will be better once Sam Darnold gets back.
Final game of the week. Final two games here of the week. Excuse me. Raiders and Vikings. The game is being played in Minnesota. Some notable injury updates here, Stefania. Both Josh Jacobs and Tyrell Williams.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs really. Not only was I a little bit surprised based on how productive he's been that he had a groin injury he's dealing with, but he talked about also being sick in that he's lost 10 pounds. I mean, that's a huge amount to lose within a week. But yet he's out there doing limited work. He's made it clear, you know, if you followed his story, it's really important to him to be out there all the time. And he has said that he really wants to play. Tyrell Williams dealing with a hip pointer can be very, very painful. I think it's a good sign that he's put in back-to-back work efforts, even though it's limited. So the hope is that they will have both of them. But again, stay tuned for Friday practice updates.
Okay. Well, if they do play, Matthew, you actually have Tyrell Williams on the hate list. Maybe buyer be wary, even if Tyrell Williams does play on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, his projection is 12.9 points. I'm taking the under there. That's what means being on the hate list, right? So not 100% healthy, should be shadowed by Xavier Rhodes. And Xavier Rhodes isn't what he was, but he's still a pretty good corner.
The roads aren't closed. They're like semi-open typically during, sometimes on Sundays, but not always.
Roads aren't fully closed, but like it's one lane.
Shoulders
and you have to
closed.
Go slowly.
It's
bumper-to-bumper traffic there. So anyway, just whatever. Vikings have allowed the third lowest deep completion percentage since the start of last year.
Yeah.
Just a very good defense here. So, yeah, I have Tyrell Williams at wide receiver 30. You guys both have him in the teens, so I am nervous about him in this particular matchup here.
Go ahead.
So that's what I would say. Look, if there's something you want to hang your hat on, it's like the volume should be. They're 8.5 point underdogs to the Vikings, so they should be having to throw to keep up. And if Josh Jacobs is banged up as well, like there's not a, it's other than Darren Waller, Waller the baller. There's not a lot of other options in order to move the ball for the Raiders. Be interesting to see if Hunter Renfro can get more involved this week.
So the Cowboys host the Dolphins on Sunday, the final game of our preview podcast. You're starting your Cowboys that you normally start. Zeke and Dak and Amari Cooper and those three guys, basically, right?
Right.
You're not starting your Dolphins. There's no one to start right now. Let's have some
That's
fun
brutal.
Here. In lieu of that, can we try to guess the score of this game, the final score of this game on Sunday? Any interest in doing that? Just
sure.
Just see who comes up closest, all right?
Sure.
I'll take a guess first. I am going with 40-6 in favor of the Cowboys.
I will go, not bad. I'm going to say 35-10.
Okay, you get some confidence.
35-10 Cowboys.
Stefania?
I'm going to go in the 30s too, because that, unlike the Patriots, I think the Cowboys will roll it back a little bit. So I'm going to say 31-3.
Okay. 31-3, 40-6, 35-10. Those are our predictions, of course.
By the way, at one Lucky John 3 on the Twitter says Terry McLaurin's nickname, Scary Terry. He's clearly watching the, not bad.
Well, but that's what Terry Rozier is. Celtics player who, like, that's, I feel like that's a very
Different
popular
sport.
Nickname already. Okay, fair enough.
Different
we'll see.
Sport, but all right, it's a nomination.
Yeah. Okay.
One Lucky
Scary
John
Terry.
3 is throwing
think,
it out there.
I bet someone in Columbus, Ohio already has a nickname for Terry McLaurin. We look forward to seeing him on Monday night. Maybe between now and Monday night, that can be your homework. Think of a nickname for Terry McLaurin.
I'm
your homework,
do that.
Everybody
your
here.
Your homework is to mob Not Cool Keith at Cleveland. Go
there
to
you
the
go.
Game, find him, mob him, you know, make a big deal when you see him. It'd be very exciting.
He will appreciate that. In the meantime, yes. Sunday, Fantasy Football Now, 10 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. Stefania has 1 p.m.
You said Stefania, a.m.
Okay.
Sorry.
10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. Plenty of great content all over ESPN Fantasy up until that time. We'll be back on Monday to recap all of these games. Will the Dolphins be better than 40-6? We'll find out. Talk to you then.
Peace out!
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. He's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the
stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Field.